Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast. It's episode number 176, and I am the host, Will Wilson. And with me today is James Gilmore.
Hello there.
And Keith Andrew.
Yeah, you sound happy.
That's never going to get old, is it? Apparently.
Well, what number did you say this was? 172?
176.
Yeah. I can't remember when the first one...
I can't remember 172?
I mean, I can't remember the first one I did. Was it 150 or something? I don't know.
No, was there further than that.
Was there ever a time when you were introduced with enthusiasm, Keith? Can you remember that?
Actually, the very first time, because I was a surprise. I was a surprise guest halfway through, wasn't I? Ever since then.
Oh, yeah, you were, yeah.
It's been downhill.
Yeah, then we instated you as a full-time person, then.
the shine wears off that quick, huh?
We'll start drinking again.
Yeah, I'm drinking now. I can't, but it's such a nice day outside. The weather, like, today has been amazing from my window.
I can't walk a few feet without going and needing to have a shower in this weather. It's horrible.
Yeah, I don't do well. I was raised in Scotland, and we get confused by glowing balls in the sky. We don't know what to do. It's terrifying.
Got more than one.
Well, depends how many mirrors I have in the room at the time. But no, it's just scary, quite frankly. We have that Scottish thing. I think it's Billy Connolly said it. It takes us 2 weeks of sunbathing to go blue, and we don't know what to do. Don't know what to do. So I've been hiding and sweltering.
I've been walking outside, having a cigarette, and going, what a lovely day! Cambridge.
Half healthy, then.
Yeah.
The lovely sunrise!
Oh, I could get a tan in this. That's a lot of vitamin D. Go along with the tar and carbon monoxide.
Delicious. What you lot talk about in Cambridge? Talk like in Cambridge. I thought you were a bit more regal than that.
Yeah. It does, yeah. I was thinking of having a jog this week, and then I looked outside and went, no, not in this weather.
I'll do it in the middle of the night if you're going to do that. But,
yeah, so. I only run in the rain.
Is that just because you want to be dramatic? Or...
Yeah, basically, yeah. No, I think it's
imagine
symbolic.
Someone's filming it, yeah.
Yeah.
She caught it in slow motion.
Yeah. Going through the rain going...
Grim determination.
If only she'd loved me in return. And then there'll be like some 80s, like. Like that. It'd be awesome.
You've been watching Drive, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. I didn't like Drive.
No, you said. You liked the soundtrack.
I liked the soundtrack. That was good. I like that one about being human. That one was good.
A real human. Yes. Yes.
Anyway, but the music didn't really fit the theme. Anyway. Let's move on to the news.
News!
First up on the news this week, we'll start with the Apple iPhone rumor.
One of those.
I had one of those before. So, yes, the latest one. I mean, the last couple we've had is basically someone said it's 4 inches. The next person said it's definitely 4 inches. And then everyone's gone, well, it's definitely 4 inches. But 9to5 Mac have now come out and said it's actually 3.95 inches.
Yeah, but if you are 3.95, you're going to tell people you're 4, aren't you?
So. that's true. You're going to round up.
Oh, dear. Already. Ooh,
oh, come on. You always start with these inch stories. What are we going to do? Expect. But yeah, so there's a tiny fractional little difference with the rumor this time. But
I think the biggest difference is that they've specifically said that it's taller, as in they've kept the same width, but they've made it 3.95 inches by making it taller.
Right.
Well, so then it will be, yeah. That doesn't make sense, surely.
No, I know.
Whatever the source says, 9to5 Mac says, is it's stuck 176 pixels on the top. So it's like 176 pixels longer than the other one.
What will the existing apps do? Will they just be stretched, or?
Yeah, that's what I was. That's what I was sort of musing in the article. I was like, well, you know, if they change the aspect ratio, which would be what would happen if they did this, it wouldn't have any. It wouldn't have any similarities of either the iPad or the or previous iPhone. So all developers will have to completely remake their apps or run in a black back like with.
Yeah.
Black bars at the top and top and the bottom. Yeah.
No one's not going to look good.
Yeah. So I don't think it's true.
You know, think, 'cause this is basically everyone's thinking it's going. It practically makes it 16:9. That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. By making it longer, it's 16:9, which seems to be what everybody thinks they're pushing towards. But like you say, if they do that, then everything they've currently released becomes, you know, wrong aspect ratio.
But wouldn't a 16:9 phone would look really odd, like lengthways, wouldn't it?
Well, they already exist. What, in the Android one? World.
Which one's a...
Well, the Optimus 2X was 16:9.
Is that an LG? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the Samsungs, I'm pretty sure, are 16:9.
Really?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, they're very close to it anyway.
Hmm. I just thought an iPhone would look rather tall and weird.
Well, it would be tall and weird, but I think also the other thing is that if they were going to do 16:9 for iPhone 5, then it would have had to have done 16:9 for the iPad. And that would have been weird. Tablets and 16:9 do not work.
Well, I know all the Windows ones are going to be 16:9.
I know, but I don't think they work. Because I hold.
It works.
I mean, like, I'm the opposite of John, though. He's not here to defend himself. John's weird in that he holds his tablets in landscape. Mm. But like normal, my default position for tablet reading is portrait, because that's the best way to read web pages, etc.
It is, but. Yeah, yeah. But if you think about Windows 8, because it's you'll be used to it on a desktop screen anyway, which is landscape. I bet without even thinking of it, you would just pick up a Windows.
No,
tablet.
I wouldn't. Because
and I think or everything would be orientated that way, like the logos and so forth on the actual device. I think they'll just have them that way up in shop.
I've got you know landscape Android tablets. I don't. I think they. The problem is when you do it when it's long, on one side, then you basically render one. Viewing angle point like too hard, because if you try and hold a portrait like a 16:9 tablet in portrait, it feels too top heavy.
Yeah, it does.
And it feels uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, and I mean,
you end up having to go for the side view, but then websites don't view very well on the side, not on a tablet anyway, because the screen isn't big enough in terms of vertical to compensate.
Playbook 16:9, I think, I'm like you in that I always hold iPad. Portrait and as a touchpad, but Playbook I automatically just hold it landscape because it just looks better that way. It looks very odd when you have it because you only get like three apps in a row, so it looks a bit strange. So I think going back to this, I think they'd have to do it all at once, and then they'd piss everyone off. And I can't say that, can I? They'd annoy everyone.
I can see you can piss them off.
Okay, they'd piss them all off.
So excited by this candor. Oh my god. I hold the iPad portrait mainly because the little buttons at the bottom, and I think I'm slightly OCD or something. I just said I want the button at the bottom. It looks weird at the side, freaks me out. And I suppose the same with the phones as well. The button at the bottom, you just instinctively do it that way. But that whole idea of all the developers having to just add black bars to the top and the bottom, or having to completely rejig the aspect ratios of everything, that's going to be a headache. I mean, I imagine some of them have already done it. If they've transferred apps onto Android devices, they would have had to tinker with various sizes and everything, the aspect ratios. But doing it for everything, that does seem like it would annoy a fair few people.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're basically saying that's untrue.
Debunking our own rumours.
You need a jingle for that.
It's not ours.
That's true. We say true or untrue, and then you play a little jingle. A bit like the old month one, which I miss.
Oh, the dings.
The dings. I never actually heard
them. There
were dings. I never listened to the podcast, but I know you did them.
Yeah, I used to put in dings.
I'll have to start them again soon, won't you?
What do they signify, these dings?
There was, like, what was the month that people were guessing that one of the iPhones or iPads was coming out?
Ding. You could use ding for this. Ding, untrue.
Untrue. I could do. I'll have to find the instrument that does the dings again that I haven't saved.
Lost your dings.
Yeah, I've lost my dings.
Oh, no.
Moving on from dings to dongs. No, what? It doesn't work.
yeah, let's talk about dongs.
Yeah,
that's
dongs,
a different
man.
Podcast altogether.
So, chaps. let's go to duty. Let's talk about duty, or rather, let's talk about a new FPS that's just been announced from X. Well, it's not really X Call of Duty people, really. It's X Activision peeps. Mm-hmm. And they formed their own company, and they're working on a new browser and mobile FPS called Offensive Combat. I think is the most generic name.
as opposed to the what? Combat? Or
defensive combat.
Defensive combat.
Or, you know...
Modern Call of Combat Duty Offensive Warfare 2.
In Offensive Combat.
Yeah, in Offensive Combat.
It's like flicks, but after you've asked permission. So they've set up a studio called U4IA Studios. The I is a small I and everything else is capitals.
Capital four.
Nice.
No, it's trendy. So they've set up this studio. They have announced that they're making Offensive Combat. It's a competitive multiplayer first-person shooter. And it looks rather nice.
I was going to say, you've used the word stonking. Here.
Stonking. I know, yeah.
That's pretty good. It's got obviously they're taking a slightly less serious route with this one, being as one of the screenshots has a bug-headed alien with tentacles.
I think it's slightly sci-fi.
I think it might be.
That would be a good name for a game, wouldn't it?
Slightly sci-fi. There was a game called Slightly Magic, and it had a wicked theme tune which I could actually recite right now, but I'm not going to. It's on the Spectrum.
It must have been awesome then.
It probably sounds a lot better in my head.
Most things do, I think.
Oh, thanks, Keith. Thanks.
this is browsery and mobile as well.
Yeah, they've only they're going to bring up the browser version first, and then bring in the mobiles. But the two versions are meant to. Well, they haven't confirmed that it plays together, but they've called them interconnected planetary. So I'm not sure what that means. Probably cross-platform.
Maybe it might just be they share the same name.
Maybe, yeah.
That's it. This guy is Dusty Welsh. Welsh,
Dust
whatever.
Welsh. That's the sounds you make when you walk in wet Wellingtons.
Exactly. Apart from having a splendid name, he has made some quite impressive statements in the past. By the looks of it, I had a little look and said something to Games Industry Biz, saying he created Call of Duty to dethrone the established leaders back in the early 2000s, and you can bet my goal at U4 small IA is to repeat that success again.
Oh, I know this developer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know them, but I've written about them. I've just gone to the website and looked at the logo, and I know I've written about them. So what have I written about them? Oh, yes.
You wrote that they were formed.
Yeah, but you know, they talked about this back in last year, but they've given it a name, I guess, and put some.
Yeah, well, they officially announced it and brought out screens. They're on a heavy recruitment drive at the moment for the studio. I mean, they're recruiting for about 12 positions at once, which suggests that they're trying to step up production a bit now.
They're making core games for a social audience. I don't know what that means.
I think that's a fancy way of basically saying, we're not just out to fleece you from cash.
A hardcore social gamer.
That's back to our hardcore meaning first-person shooter thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that word again.
Yeah, I don't like the usage of hardcore in its current terminology.
Hardcore freemium, they even said, didn't they?
Any game can be hardcore. Just depends on how hardcore a player is. I mean, how much they invest into a game. Anyway, we've all been through this. It's like a rite of passage for when you level up.
It does look nice. The lighting
is nice.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Let's move on to something else that's very pretty. Where's My Water is getting a whole new merchandising line.
What's it
Disney
called?
Are really pushing this.
What's it called? Swampy,
yeah. But you can also buy Cranky as
Cranky
well.
The alligator.
Yeah.
And, is that with a K or a C?
C. And Ali.
Now that makes sense.
She's Swampy's girlfriend.
Yeah, Ali for the first time.
Ali the alligator.
Do you want to guess how she looks to make sure you know she's a female alligator?
She's got lovely purpley pink bits on her.
Yeah.
Which is what girls do have, actually, I've heard.
She's got a little bow, hasn't she?
Yeah, there's a little bow.
Is that what you call it?
Yes. There's purpley pink sort of eyeshadow sort of style thing over her eyes.
Purpley pink bow? Has she got
that? And you notice also her her claws are also pinkish.
She's not wearing any clothes, though. In fact, none of them are.
None of them are. It's scandalous.
She's put eyeshadow on, but she doesn't wear any clothes.
They're very selective, that's, Disney.
Is she from Essex? I'm not sure.
Ooh, I don't know that one out.
I can say that. I'm allowed. I'm speaking for my people.
Yeah. So Swampy and his nemesis, Cranky. If you're in the US, you'll be able to buy this. Disney have also announced that they're going to be bringing, T-shirts, iPod cases. There's a 12-episode web series coming out.
I wouldn't
be surprised if they try to spin this out into a straight-to-DVD feature.
You'll see it in the Disney shop soon enough, I imagine.
To be fair, have you been in a Disney shop recently?
Yeah, they're awful.
They are awful.
They're all the same. You come out and you forget where you are because they're all identical. And they are just places of pure evil.
Also, they pump mind-altering gas in.
The floor just sparkles constantly. I used to really like... I mean, they've all gone now, but I used to really like... Warner Brothers used to have stores. And I used to go... And they were really good. They were kind of really... It was like going in a theme park with Disney stores.
I imagine that I've been in one and I just found it incredibly cloying, and any place where it feels like there's forced fun going on, where it's like everything's smiling, everything will smile at you, everyone, and it just feels like it's incredibly overwhelming. Like,
hello, sir. Do you need any help?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Do you need any help to buy anything? I will help you. Just give me a call if you need any help. I don't need your help. I'm here for a friggin' Christmas present, all right?
I don't even like toys.
I don't even like Disney. The Lion King.
You like the Little Mermaid, don't you?
I don't like the Lion.
All boys like the Little Mermaid, don't they?
No,
she's half fish, Keith.
I know. Well, that's the challenge, isn't it?
It's a challenge. That's not what I look for necessarily. Is so this will be a challenge? The tree stump is a challenge. I'm not going for it.
No, it's quite easy with the tree stump. I can show you how. Anyway.
Yes, you can buy them if you're in the US. They're quite nice. Although, actually, what the hell happened to the Cut the Rope plushies?
I actually went looking for them the other day when this thing came up, because I have recently started playing through both of them and actually enjoying both of them like thoroughly. I'd played them a bit before, but I'd not sat down and done them on my own device. And particularly enjoying Cut the Rope. And so I went looking for Om Nom. And I think they're coming next month. There's in Forbidden Planet and stuff like that. It says the orders are coming in next month. But they've got one with his mouth closed and then one with his mouth open. So there should be Om Noms on the way.
That sounds like a spin-off, that, Looking for Om Nom.
Yeah, that'd be good. It'd be a little mini documentary shot in black and white on a council estate.
Social realism.
Yeah.
I do love... my favourites still are... Well, the pig from Angry Birds has a very good plush toy, actually, which I keep meaning to win at a certain service station. It costs too much to do it. But they do look very good.
Could just buy one, then.
I could buy one, but then I'd know I bought it. I prefer to, think I won this.
Okay.
It only cost me £12.
talking of winning... I need it to flow. It's a medical condition.
If it doesn't flow, you have to see a doctor.
Yeah, indeed. So, yes, we're going to move on to a bit of a controversial one next. Because earlier this week, Papa Quash from Us Two, in association with Sam Pepper, an ex-Big Brother contestant who none of us have ever heard of, released a game called Papa Quash. And it's... created a bit of a stir on Twitter and within the indie gaming community because it bared quite a resemblance to a certain JS Joust from who is it from? Die Gute Fabrik, which is the game where basically both games feature you holding a device. In JS Joust's case, it's PS Move controller or a Wii, I believe. But it's PS Move now. PS Move controller. And in Papakwashi, it was an iPhone. And you basically, it's a multiplayer game where you have to try and make your opponents move their device so that they get knocked out of the game. So you've got to hold them steady. The only difference is that JS Joust, which is based off an old game itself, had music which changed in tempo. So you could, as the music got faster, you could move faster. Whilst Papakwashi was literally just you holding iPhones. And everyone was really annoyed because everyone called it a massive clone. And after being sort of hounded by the rest of the indie community, us two pulled the app from the App Store.
I mean, they really were hounded. Well, I don't think anyone's come out of this looking good, apart from maybe the people who made the original one who did seem a bit clueless about it. But like the thing that was interesting is that everyone was very eager on Twitter to jump on this story when I can guarantee that the majority of people have never played this and have never played this other game either.
Yeah, but I don't think, because the one of the interesting things is that there were a lot of people shouting it, but JS Joust is literally, you can't get it anywhere. It's invitation only, kind of like one-off events where you get to play it. So there's only going to be a handful of people who've actually played that game. And the other thing is that it's based off a game itself, which the good Fabric has already admitted. It's based off an old sort of playground sort of party game, which is, and then they've added music. And the thing is, strip the music away and you've got the party game that was already there before. And that is what Papakwashi is.
It's one of them things. I mean, I don't know if you've sensed it, but some of the events I've been to, there's people seem very keen. When you reach a certain level of success, a lot of people then get very waiting for your downfall. And I think because it was us too, I mean, and they've leapt upon a quote that we have from Mills of Us Too fame from back in February. We did a thing on Biz called Mavens where everyone answers questions, they'll give their thoughts on the issue of the day, and one of them was about cloning, and now everyone's been hauling up this quote that he gave where he
does that launch detected.
Who was that?
Launch. That might have been my phone with a Mass Effect-esque thing. That was literally Edie saying anomaly detected. Yes, I am that guy. Man, I best turn that down.
You completely ruined my flow now. I can't remember what the hell I was talking about.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
no. He rightly perhaps slagged off people who clone games. So everyone's leaping on this quote that he gave back in February. But as you say, I don't think anyone's really played this game, and no one really had a clue. Yet it was kind of leapt upon as being some of the worst thing that's ever happened in the world ever.
And
I
think there's a certain there's certain bad blood going on with this because, I mean, you know, I'm not Us 2's biggest fan. I'm not a big fan of Whale Trail and their other games. So I can't really be accused of being sort of like in their pocket or anything. But like, it did seem to me that quite a lot of people who were jumping on this were people that may be quite annoyed by the fact they've got so much publicity for Whale Trail in particular.
But the reason, I mean, the thing that, I mean, I don't know whether developers under that understand this or purposely don't understand it, but the reason that they annoy a lot of people is because this isn't Us 2's main business. They do UI for apps. They design apps for other people. I mean, they do the Barclaycard app that's out at the moment where you can, you know, you view your account on there or whatever. I mean, they have huge contracts with huge companies, and this games thing is almost a bit of a thing on the side, if I understand it, which means they're able to take risks that other studios wouldn't be, and they're able to declare games that others would consider huge hits as failures because it's not their main business, but it puts them in a unique position. And obviously, if you're a developer that you're fighting for your livelihood and you see someone having a game that you would love to have the kind of sales that Whale Trail managed, and then they're kind of saying, oh, it's not really done very well, it does annoy you, I suppose. But I think this is anti-Us2 kind of feeling with a lot of people.
There's also So the whole cloning thing has been so hot topic of late as well, with tiny towers and all that stuff. People have been very, you know, it's got a lot of people's backs up. And the moment anyone, even anything comes out that's remotely similar to another game, people immediately, well, people seem to be quite quick to cry clone, you know, and get very, very upset about it. Yeah. I noticed that us two sort of distanced themselves from it slightly by saying that it wasn't their game. It was this Sam Peppercky, this ex-Big Brother fellow.
Yeah, us two should have just stuck to their guns. But, I mean, they made a mistake by basically trying to disassociate themselves with the game. And then, of course, then they ran into a whole host of other problems. And then they pulled in rather ignominious? I'm making up words. Ignoble fashion. Which is sort of, I think, has got the mob kind of a bit chuffed that they've got the bad guy. But the problem is, it's a party game. I will tell you what a party game is. A party game is one simple idea that you can be played with people without having to explain the rules. So it's like, for instance, take sort of Mafia, which is a party game you play with friends by closing your eyes and then some people are the Mafia and you open your eyes and, you know, you've got to try and guess who's... It's like Wink Murder, basically.
Oh, I used to love Wink Murder.
You know, see, Wink Murder is a party game. It's one idea. It's literally
one idea. And
Murder
in the Dark. Oh, that was really
Murder in the Dark was good, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's what I mean. A party game can't be much more than one idea because it's meant to be simple. So, I mean, if you base a game on a party game, when does it not... When is it that point? The point where it is a clone has to be very, very, very specific because there's not much to it.
Well, when was the first dance game? Because, I mean, there's a million games now which
precisely. I mean,
this dance.
This is an interesting question I posed to the Pocket Gamer main room earlier on today. It was actually like, how many times does something get... If something does get copied or cloned, how many times does it take before it becomes a genre and not a clone?
Yeah. Mm. Basically, depends on how people like the developer or not who's been accused of cloning.
I think that is one of the main things. I mean, because remember back when Doom and when Wolfenstein came out and Doom, there wasn't a first-person shooter genre. People didn't call it that. It was Doom, and then you had all these other games, and it was like Doom clones. And then after that, everyone started calling them first-person shooters, and then it's like that's the genre. And like you say with the dancing games, they had like... I don't know what was the original one.
No, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
Dance Dance, maybe? I don't know. Maybe that's too... There's probably an indie game did it first, to be honest. But like then that came Rhythm Action, and then later it became music, because, of course, guitar, etc. Everyone just called it also Rhythm Action. It's a bit complicated. So.
Do you think it's to do with the popularity, not just of the developers, but of the actual game that they are cloning? As in, when people started cloning Doom back in the day... I imagine because Doom was such a big deal at the time, it wasn't the first ever for 3D one, but it was one of the early ones, one of the ones that popularized it. And when more started appearing, I think people enjoyed that game so much, they were quite happy to have more games to play in that setting, in that framework. So rather than going, oh, we don't want any of this, we just want Doom and that's it, and no one else is allowed to make any more, they're actually kind of like, no, please go ahead, mate. We'd love to have some more of these.
I think there's also that sort of image recognition. So like when you say, oh, it's a Doom clone, people go, oh, it's like Doom, because everyone knows what Doom is. So then you think to yourself, well, it's going to be with a gun and you walk around in first person. Yeah. And so Doom clone was an easy way. It's like when we, in fact, a very good thing is when we did Cannonbolt came out. And then we started calling every sort of running game sort of a cannonball game, because that was easy to describe something. And then it's slowly morphed into Endless Runner. I mean, that genre, I don't believe that genre was popping up like a few years back.
It's
completely new genre. And that's I don't think, maybe Cannonball wasn't the first one, but it's the most popular one that people know. And that you can almost see it. If you go back through the articles from the last 3 years, you can see the language go from clone to style to then Endless Runner, because that's the genre.
Well, you get to a point where there's so many of them that...
Yeah, but you can't... there's no way you can just call it clones anymore.
It's kind of... A lot of games get kind of called Bejeweled clones, and then you kind of think...
Then it's Match 3.
Match 3, really. It's
although, to be fair, Bejeweled, it's not the first match.
Actually. Oh, no, exactly. it's selective memory. I mean, I think a lot with this... I mean, we've had a bit of... I mean, I've had a bit of stick, actually, the last couple of days for actually not covering this in any way. Because I just found it... it was kind of a he-says-she-says kind of drama story that just I didn't want to touch it with a barge pole. And kind of a lot of people have said, well, why and stuff. And, you know, we covered on Biz, obviously, all the stuff about Zynga and Nimblebit and stuff like that. But that was because, namely, Nimblebit were so eager to talk about it and kind of were highlighting it and making a point of putting it out. Whereas these guys, sounds to me...
It's also just, very obviously...
Yeah, that's it. And they're both bigger games, I would
they're
say.
They're not simple one-idea things. That's quite a complicated game mechanic, and they've completely wholesale ripped it off.
From a business perspective, you had a lot of things to write there because they were both talking on both sides, so that, you know, you got quotes you can run with. Whereas this was just kind of a random Twitter drama that people knew more about it than we did, but they were still kind of baying for me to write about it so that he could then link to articles to tell more people about it. You think, well, you already know what's happened. You've been watching it explode on Twitter this morning, so why do you need me to write up what you already know? It's a bit strange.
I think the only people who've come out of it okay have been Die Gut Fabrik, because whenever they published a blog thing, and they basically said, look, we didn't ask us two to remove the app. We don't bear any animosity towards us two or the Sam Pepper kid. Sam Pepper did make contact with them, and Pepper claimed that he'd got permission from them, but they said, no, we never gave them that permission at all. But they're not like, they themselves are not baying for blood or, you know, demanding any kind of justice or throwing lawsuits around or anything. So they've come out a bit okay, but everyone else looks a bit...
I think that's because they already said that they'd based their game off another game which was around 100 years before. I mean, ages ago. I mean, they've not been completely sort of like... they've not been secretive about it. They've said, like, we based this on a party game that's about 100 years old, and we updated it and added modern technology. I mean, I don't see why people are so annoyed. But anyway, we should move on, because we've taken ages over that one story, and we've got lots of new releases to get through. So come with us to the roundabout. No, wait, which one is it? Yeah, it is the roundabout. Come with us to the roundabout. This week on the new releases, it's autumn in the air, so we're playing virtual tennis with some slingshot zombies.
It is autumn in the air.
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 It is. This air is definitely autumn.
This air, autumn is in the air. It's
autumn all over it.
The air is filled with autumn. My God, this is autumn. Or fall, if you're an American.
Or fall, if you're wrong.
Steady on, James. You can't tell them that directly.
This autumn dynasty looks quite pretty.
It does, and this is our first game up on this week's new releases.
Nice.
Did you feed him that line? What's that about?
I'm setting him up. He's knocking them.
I've been threatened even by the fact that Peter was slicker and more professional than me the other week. So I'm.
He certainly made an effort.
I ruined it by lifting the curtain on him and explaining that he was talking to himself half the time. Ruin the magic for everyone.
Come on, you can do it, Pete. Come on, let's do it again.
Yes, Autumn Dynasty. It looks really good. I've been playing a little bit of it. When I say a little bit, 10 minutes. But it's available now for iPad, priced at $2.99.
Quite interesting, yeah.
It's a real-time strategy game with a. It's got a painted on. What kind of material did the ancient Chinese and Japanese use? And it wouldn't be paper.
PVC?
Fabric-y thing, maybe?
I don't know, maybe. But it looks like one of those sort of Far Eastern painted efforts. But it's all very smoothly animated, and it's...
Does look very good.
Yeah, slick. Have you been doing it with a brush? He's using a brush in the trailer.
Annoyingly, I wrote this, and then I looked over to Kotaku, and they'd done exactly the same comparison, but like halfway down, and sort of like, oh, you could say that it's like... So I was like... anyway, it's like Akami meets Total War from the.
Are we not calling it Dynasty though? I think that's
Autumn Dynasty.
Autumn Dynasty.
It's not Dynasty.
That's what it used to be called. Dynasty. Actually, it should be Fall Dynasty, shouldn't it? Over there, maybe in America, they've called it Fall Dynasty.
That's true.
Autumn Dynasty.
Fall Dynasty.
It's published by BulkyPix. It's out now, $2.99, $4.99 in dollars. Okay, we're going on to Universal Games now, so iPad and iPhone. And all of the rest of the games are universal. That one's just the only iPad one.
Are they universally good?
Well, some of them, well, most of them are, actually. So Airmail, I have played this before. It's the iOS version of Pilot Wings, essentially, from Chillingo and Fusion. Fusion something. I can't read their actual name because it's too small text. Yes, and you pilot a biplane around various very nice-looking worlds, cartoony worlds, dropping off stuff, picking up stuff, and putting it back.
Yeah. You sure it's a biplane and not a gay plane?
No, it's definitely bi. It goes both left and right.
Yeah. It'd be awful if you could only fly one direction, wouldn't it?
Round in circles. It is very pretty, isn't it? It's a nice.
It's very pretty. I played with this, and I also played the game.
Is that how you knew it was bi?
So yeah, no, at a preview event. It's interesting in the fact that the basic controls I found quite unsatisfying. It was quite easy. And then there's advanced controls where you swipe the two sides of the screen are like your rudders. So you tilt your wings to the right by moving them both up at the same time. So it goes round if you do it. Anyway, it's much harder, but it's also quite a lot more engaging. So I'll be interested to see what the reviewer thinks of this game. I think
the reviewer.
The reviewer. Because I've been assigning reviews this week. Rob's been off.
Like the banker on Deal or No Deal.
It is. He's offering 8 out of 10. Or do you want to keep opening the box?
I can't believe people sit and watch that for hours.
Open the box. 22's your lucky number.
It could be over in 5 minutes, that show. They managed to stretch out to an hour.
Yeah, and make it seem like there's any element of skill involved. That's what gets me.
It'd be great. One of us should definitely apply for it. Sit in their hotel that they give you for like a month while they will go through all the contestants. And then
that's what I want, jury service. I get free hotel. But...
When you get to the actual show, just go like, yeah, number 19. And then that one, that one, that one, that one. Yeah.
Free plan. Yeah.
Just keep opening the boxes.
It's all yeah, let me know when you're done.
Just do them any order. So Airmail is out now. What price is it? It's $2.99 or $4.99. It's quite expensive from Chillingo, isn't it?
But they don't make many games at all, do they? So
they don't release that many, I guess.
I'm not seeing a Chillingo game for years.
Gotta make a crust somehow.
Next up this week is Virtual Tennis Challenge from Sega, where you get to play against Ferron Tenau.
Is that a thing? Is that a person?
That's a fictional superstar tennis player with an atomic forehand.
Righto.
Atomic forehand. It's got fake people. I like games.
It's only fake people in this version of Virtual Tennis. There's no licensed people on this one.
No, you haven't got like him Tenman or something. Or...
I don't think so. No, I think it's just the fictional, because they always have loads of fictional tennis players in the console series.
Randy Oddick.
Randy Oddick.
Oh, we've lost Keith for the rest of the podcast.
He's gone. He has gone.
That would be good. Someone sent them an email as an additional update. I want to play as Randy Oddick.
So, yeah, I don't think Randy Oddick's in it.
Oh dear. Now, this was a Xperia Play originally, wasn't it?
Exclusive, yeah, it was out on the Xperia Play first, then went to Android, and now it's finally come over to iOS. Mm-hmm. It got a gold award on the Xperia Play, but I got a sneaky suspicion that was partially because it's got physical controls.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how this one comes out. I know Mark's on this one. I've been assigning reviews. I know who's reviewing them. So we should hear from him soon. It's got SPT, World Tour mode, 18 different stadium. And the animations are really good. I mean, it's like it does look like a virtual tennis game.
Production values and all that.
Yeah. Next up, talking about production values, Slingshot Racing has excellent production values. It's the latest one from Crescent Moon Games. But it's published by them. Who's it made by? Let's get past the fade outs. No, it's not going to show. Bolt.
Snowbolt. Snowbolt. Good logo.
That is a good logo. It's unusual. It seems to be a sort of you use sort of connecting things and slingshot over them. So you go past a sort of tower and then it attaches to your car and then you've got to deattach it.
Momentum. It's a top-down racer merged with that level from Batman.
Yeah.
I'm trying to place it now. There's lots of 2D platformers that used to have levels a bit like this where you'd have to slingshot your way.
It's certainly a new idea for the racing genre.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it does.
It really does, doesn't it? That looks awesome.
I'd be interested to see if this one can, because I've mentioned it in the out this week, the midweek releases article, which you can read by typing in mid-week. I've mentioned that it'll be interesting to see how it goes up against Straw Race 2, because that's the only other sort of, I mean, there's no other top-down racer like Slingshot Racing, so I guess that's the closest with it.
I might have to buy this.
The lighting's gorgeous.
$6.99.
I don't often think about that about games, to be honest, but I might have to buy that one.
It's a really strong week this week, which caught me off guard, because last week wasn't actually very good.
Games are usually rubbish, aren't they?
Yeah, they're normally rubbish. They're a waste of time.
I prefer reading books, frankly.
I prefer eating books.
I can't say what I prefer, because it's not broadcastable.
So the next one out this week is Zombie Ace from Hothead Games. And it's one of those aircraft... You see, I want to tell Keith to put on the sound for this video so he can hear the flight attendant voice.
So you can hear the... Yeah.
It's good. So yeah, it's one of those, you fly an aircraft and pick up coins in the sky, only you also try and... The idea is to try and land your zombies who are in the aircraft in cities and infect them.
Yep. Well, that's quite good. I mean, it's a, you know, post-jetpack joyride kind of thing.
Yep.
Right, Endless Runner.
I mean, I
can't remember the name of the one I've played that was post Jetpack Joyride, the one with fish where you were there to keep jumping out of the water.
That was James Pond.
It looks much like this, but this looks better. And a nice little twist.
I've been playing it today. It's what I've been playing. I shall reserve my opinions, but it's pretty.
So that's available now for free.
Well, I thought you were going to say for iPhone and iPad.
No, said that at the start. Well, you're not listening.
Sega Mega CD.
For Sega Mega Drive Genesis. Sega Mega CD in the MSX. Tiny Plane is the next one out this week from a small studio called Chillingo. But actually, it's made by Powwow Games. It's another game featuring an aircraft collecting floating coins, and it features a cartoon dog. It's got four-way multiplayer, which is quite new for the genre. See, now this is a genre, because I can't remember what game, you know, I don't know what
Endless sort of Flyer
genre. Endless Flyer. And it's got fruit.
Oh, there's no gameplay in the video.
No, it's one of those.
Gameplay, or it didn't happen.
It's a lot more cartoony than that intro video would make you believe. It makes you think it's like some sort of, they've starred it in the sort of 1930s
film noir
film noir thing, but actually it's really bright primary colors throughout. So that's out this week. That's 69p. You see, that's bad, because they've released up against Zombie Ace, which is essentially the same type of game, but it's free.
I don't think it's permanently free, Zombie Ace. I think it's free for today or the next couple of days.
Okay, fair enough.
I think
I'm going to flash past Secura Slash because we're running out of time.
Oh, the word slash brush on it. How can you miss that?
Slash brush.
I only use the slash brush if I miss the bowl, to be honest.
I've got to skip past it because we're coming up to 50 minutes recorded time. We haven't done what we've been playing yet. And we've got three more games to go through. So next one up is Men in Black 3 by Gameloft. Here come the Men in Black. Ta-ta. Galaxy Defenders.
Oh, it's the, when was it actually? Wasn't the 90s, late 90s? It feels like a long time ago, that first film.
I've never liked them. A lot of other people.
We're good guys, dressed in black. Remember that. Just in case we have a face to face semi contact.
Oh dear.
Talking about we're running over time, and now he's
that's Will why Smith I need to hurry us on so I could do the whole song.
Oh, so it's all been working towards your Will Smith impression. Men in Black movie, the first half an hour was all right, and then as soon as the rest of it kicked in, I thought it was dull, and the second one was kind of rubbish. It was one of those franchises that I felt didn't
need resurrecting. I can't even remember the second one.
It was a complete non-event.
Impact on me.
Yeah. So they've done a what resource management number, is it?
It's a premium building game. But it's got a bit of turn-based combat in there as well, which is... Could be interesting. Obviously, it ties in with the film, so there's all this stuff that you remember from the film, unless you're me, who's completely managed to black out Here come the men in black. Also, that song completely steals the whole. I'm sure they licensed it, but it's the whole of the chorus is stolen from that George Michael song.
Yeah, but that's a sample anyway. So it's a 70s song, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Is it? Ah,
just put that in because he likes the song, and they nabbed it.
Ah.
See, so we could have had a big Twitter thing, couldn't we? Oh, Will Smith has just completely cloned George Michael.
Will Smith.
George Clinton said, actually, I nicked it from someone else.
Yeah, actually, it was made 100 years ago.
Sending me forget-me-nots. Yeah.
that's the one. Men in Black 3 is a freemium building game from Gameloft. I mean, it looks visually attractive, but it will mean that you'll have to wait for a while before anything happens.
Before things
happen.
It's
like getting out with a girl, isn't it?
Yeah, it does a bit, yeah. Subway Surfers, we're going to rush through the last two. Subway Surfers from Killu Games is also out this week for free. And it's a... I've described it as a 3D and casual endless running game. And you basically jump to avoid. It's a bit like Hugo the Troll, the telephone phone-in game. You have to avoid the trains and collect coins, avoid guards, and jump over things. It sort of looks a bit like an N64 game in my
opinion. It looks quite. I don't know why you would choose them as. As the kind of to lead it, because they look quite ugly and horrible, but the rest of the game looks quite nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And I finally got to a gameplay bit. Yeah. No, it looks all right. The protagonists are a bit wonky looking, aren't they? But all that train hopping stuff looks quite good. Jumping from the tops of trains and climbing it, right? That could be fun.
It's not a very positive message to send out to the kids, though.
No, because National Rail won't be pleased with this at all.
That's
and
true.
Finally this week is Defender Chronicles 2, Heroes of Aphelia.
More made-up words.
It's a tower defense game on its side, so it's 2D tower defense. Smothered in RPG hugs and kisses. So you get upgrades, leveling up, looting, skill pointing, characters, heroes. Heroes of Aphelia, magic.
Yeah, I don't like the look of this.
You don't like the look of anything with RPG elements.
Everything's just so generic, isn't it? Look at them all. One of them got funny ears. One of them looks like he's been in Lord of the Rings. It's just
they've all been in Lord of the Rings.
Well, that's what's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, but they can't get another job. They're all the Lord of the Rings films done.
get the job in The Hobbit.
The Hobbit's already finished filming. £1.99 or $2.99 in dollars. Defender Chronicles 2, Heroes of Aphelia.
Pay for a game? We're not paying for games. What's the matter with
Talking of games, let's move on to what we've been playing.
Games.
Before we go to like an hour and a half.
Just say that whole way through the podcast. Talking of games.
It's my emergency link.
Talking of games.
Talking with my mouth.
Talking. Let's go to the...
yeah, concise.
What we've been playing!
So, welcome to What We've Been Playing, Fields. It is hot as hell out here. Keith is in his flip-flops and tropical shirt. James is trying to find some shade under the parasol. While I'm just standing on the hilltop.
I'm pretty sure you're naked.
Naked.
Hands on
hips. With my hands on my hips, proudly surveying the countryside below.
God intended.
Yes. Yeah. But let's survey some games we've been playing this week.
For God's sake.
I'm going to...
You're becoming a cheesy local radio DJ. Everything looks...
He's linking it up, all right. Just that flow going
on. Leave it, Keith. He's just linking it. Don't worry. He's not after you. So yeah, I'm gonna start.
Go on.
I'm gonna start. Go on, then. I'm fine. Gage. I've been playing Gage today. In fact, it came out today. It is a bizarre little game, which I thought I was gonna hate, but actually, I think I quite like it. It's the simplest concept as you can get. You basically touch the screen and hold it down, and a gauge fills in the center of the screen, and then if you let it fill too far. Then it's game over, and if you let it fill too little, then it's game over. And you basically have to you get more points for how close you are to the end of the bars. So you have to keep trying to sort of gently tap it to keep it up in the high scoring area. And then it gets a bit all weird. And the game tries to put you off as you get on during it. So it will like completely blank out all the graphics except for like a tiny sliver of the bar and go, hello, like that in the middle of the screen. And then it'll start flashing random colours at you, and it'll start like sort of blacking things out. And then it'll introduce two bars with one half of the screen managing one and the other half managing the other for extra points. And then it gets all a bit mental. It's really good though. It's literally just holding the screen and then letting go.
You have to touch it to keep it up.
You have to touch it to keep it up, yeah. I'm pretty good at the game, thanks to a lot of good experience.
So you haven't had any complaints?
I haven't had any complaints. It's satisfied me very well. So yeah, it's out now. It's free. It's called Gage. It's by Al... I don't want to get this wrong because it's actually quite hard to search for it. You can get it from the website if you type in Gage on our website anyways. But yes, it's by Game at Lear. So that's not helpful either. But anyway, it's really good. I really enjoy it. It's the most basic, simple game ever, but you'll actually get sort of, after the first few goes, give it a first few goes because it's boring on those first few goes, and then you'll suddenly click and then it's all pretty good. And I've also been playing a little bit of Autumn Dynasty, which is the RPG? No, it was the real-time strategy we were talking about earlier. I've only played a few missions so far. It looks really good. Like, the graphics are amazing. It's iPad only. Graphics are superb. The brush stroke sort of style touch interface is very well done. The one thing, I haven't unlocked it, so I don't know for sure, or it doesn't exist. There's no shortcuts for units, which is going to be a bit of a pain once the game gets a little bit more complicated. But it's got a fully featured multiplayer mode, single player campaign, lots of other stuff. It looks great. I'm waiting for Matt Wales is reviewing this one, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes back with.
Have you got a big board up with everyone's names and what they're reviewing?
So I'm taking over the reviews for this week, so I've had to see what everyone's doing.
It's got the chart, the reviews chart.
I have the chart.
And a pointer. I hope you've got a pointer at least, so you can just indicate
with the chart
to no one.
With all the pieces of the chart, he could arrange the reviews in any way he wants.
Yes.
Talking of reviews in any way I want, James Gilmore is up next.
Okay. We mentioned it earlier. I've been playing Zombie Ace, so the endless flyer coin collecting number. It is Hothead Games. So it's got, you mentioned before, it's kind of funny, and it is. It's got the good humor. So you've got zombies piloting aircraft. You've got to keep the thing in the air, collecting coins as you go. You get aircraft coming in, so military aircraft flying from the right-hand side of the screen and try and either zoom past you or shoot you down. And the way that you fight them off is rather than, because you're on like commercial air, you know, jets, airbuses and whatnot. So you have zombies kind of hanging onto the wings and, you know, dangling off the fins and stuff like that. And so to attack them, you just tap the enemy aircraft and one of your zombies goes flying across, starts munching through the hull of the military aircraft, which then the aircraft explodes into bits. And then your zombie opens a parachute and starts floating, you know, and you have to kind of zoom in and collect him again. So you keep your ammunition, essentially, your zombie ammunition, which is kind of neat. Usually these endless flyers, I find myself playing them with just one finger. You know, you just tap screen to make it go higher, let go, and it falls down to the bottom. This one I'm finding I'm kind of using two thumbs. I'm using one for flying, and then I'm using the other hand to go in and tap the various enemy aircraft and stuff. So there's a nice little extra layer of something going on there. It's presented really well. Again, it's got this nice parallax scrolling, hand painted looking style. Very nice. And the zombies are done with a good sense of humor, lots of funny noises, as was also mentioned earlier, including the air hostess going.
It kind of reminded me of Banjo-Kazooie in a way.
in a rotting, scary zombie way. Because I wasn't necessarily, I really like the look of it, but when I saw that there was yet another, you know, zombie game, and I'm quite sick of the whole zombie thing. I mean, that like the vampire thing, the zombie thing, you know, that got old quite some years ago, and, you know, it takes
I actually met someone who wasn't sick of the zombies the other day.
So you met a zombie?
No, it was a friend of mine. He's dead to me now.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, no, I was genuinely like, every time you see one, it's like, oh, really? Again? Oh, my God. Is that it? We've gone through the bottom of the barrel and we're into the ground and down into the ground. And there are graves under the ground. And obviously that's where they're getting all the zombies from. I think I've just worked it out. Oh, well, there you go. Sorted. Yeah, but this one's actually managed to make me kind of go, it's fun. The zombies have lots of character. The sound effects are funny. The visuals are nice. You have to fly across, like, I think it's 11 major cities. And the idea is you're supposed to go and infect all of the American cities. So when you fly over the top of a city, it gives you a little warning. And you fly down if you want to, and then you infect the city. And so there's this, but you don't have to do it. You can kind of keep on flying if you want to and pass the city by. And so there are these, and you've got a limited amount of fuel, and you can obviously upgrade all your aircraft, and eventually you get planes, and then you get like choppers and Chinooks and whatnot, and eventually I think you get a tank as well, which is no longer an endless flyer. But it seems to have quite a lot of elements, like much more so than your average like just Tiny Wings or something where you're just flying or collecting. And it makes a little bit more interesting, perhaps more engaging. I mean, some people would say it's not as streamlined, but I actually think the individual elements work quite well. I haven't got like I've spent about sort of 30 minutes, 40 minutes with it. I haven't played it for ages, but I am going to play some more, which is generally a good sign. It has that kind of charm about it that seems to make you want to come back. So the charm of rotting zombies and air hostesses going, It was you who did it, wasn't it? That was you. That's on your CV. Female air zombie number 3.
Yeah. Well. It was a good day that day in the recording studio.
Light in there, didn't you?
Keith.
Have you not got some kind of a link for me? Or you know, talking of zombies, talking of planes, I don't know what. No, just going to say my name. Okay.
Keith.
Yes. You remember last week?
Talking of Andrew.
Andrew. Last week, I'm told you edited out a large portion of my you told me Sonic rant.
I had to.
A lot of that, actually, that's probably quite handy because a lot of what I said last week was wrong. Because I've been playing some Sonic 4 Episode 2 this week. I've been playing it both on iPad and on 360 actually, but it's very good. It's very good indeed.
Ooh, this is contradicting the 5.
Who's given that a 5?
Harry.
We have.
Yeah, we have.
Oh, God. No way is this a 5, actually. I tell you, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll be proved wrong again, actually. It's a big game. It is much bigger than Episode 1 because I flew through the first 3 stages and the boss. And 2 extra special zones and that took a long time actually, because what's interesting is the thing always bugs me about Sonic games is they have this obsession with speed, and which is a myth that the best Sonic games were never that fast, and this one is very fast, but the levels are so huge actually that it can still afford to have these great long sections where you're actually doing very little and you're just watching it kind of going, oh, that looks good, but I'm not actually pressing anything right now. But then you still have these huge areas where you are, and the levels have numerous ways of getting through them, and there's lots. It has a great old Sonic trick of the first time you play it, you're going through and you suddenly see an extra life up way somewhere else, and you think, how the hell do I get there? I'm gonna have to come back and play this again and work out how I get up there, kind of feeling to it, which I'd never really thought the first episode quite got to grips with. This one really does. The music's really good. Tails
said the music is terrible.
The music is really good. The music is spot on. That is Sonic. You'll hate it, but that is 16-bit Sonic music. I mean, it really is. And the implementation of Tails is he's not annoying as he was in Metroid.
He's silent.
He's actually very useful.
He's dead.
He doesn't talk, thankfully.
He's silent. Brilliant.
But he, as well as you can do these kind of little mini special moves for him. So as well as him being able to pick you up and fly very short distances, but they kind of implement it quite well. You can also kind of spin together in a ball and bowl your way through lots of walls that you smash through, and you can, he also carries you underwater, and it's very well done actually. That he, I mean, we used to watch him in Sonic 2, and you're playing by yourself, and he would always fall behind or look like an idiot or just be genuinely annoying. Whereas on this, actually, they've used him really well. He fits in the game, and it enables the levels to be bigger because they can then add in little extra tips and tricks where you have to utilize these extra moves. But it's not so complicated as you don't know what you're doing. So I'm genuinely really impressed. It has that feeling of just adding a few little twists that they used to do with every Sonic game. They're just putting looking. You'd be surprised first time you play it. There'd just be some way that the level interacted with you that was slightly different to the last time, or some little trick that you'd do. And it's full of that, but just the right amount. And what's really clever is actually with this one is you do forget what you're playing it on. I mean, the hardware you're playing it on is capable, obviously, of doing fully 3D. But because it's so old school, you forget that. And when it does do something, it's 3D. Just a little thing where the level flips over or something that you're walking on, it looks amazing. And the other good thing is the special zones, basically the ones from Sonic 2 kind of twisted a little bit. So you just, which was always everyone's favorite, was the one in Sonic 2 running after the rings down the tube thing. And it's just, this is what the first one should have been, actually. I hope as I continue playing it, it is as good. But yeah, at the moment, it's a very, very, very good game so far, I would say.
Got a 5.
It's not a 5.
So why do you think people, there has been a general like ripple of, we got the baby at 5, I've seen 6s and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, loads of people are saying the music is terrible.
I'm only on the first, I've done the first 3 levels. Actually, the first 3 levels, they're all part of a level package, but they've all got different tunes. But they really, really ape Sonic 2, essentially. It really, the whole thing feels much more Sonic 2 inspired than the last one. And
I think, going back to something you said the last week, I think the main problem is that Sonic fans, they don't even know what a good Sonic game is anymore.
No, I think a lot of people don't. I think the problem is you have people who are Sonic fans, and then people who think they were Sonic fans, who just used to play it when they went around their mate's house or whatever. For Sonic fans, this does a lot better job so far of recapturing what used to make it good.
Yeah, but a lot of hardcore Sonic fans said that they didn't like the movement in Sonic Episode 1, and you quite liked that, didn't you?
Well, yeah, Episode 1, it was just very encouraging. The reason why I think Episode 1 got a certain amount of outpouring of love from a portion of people was because it was the kind of game that the fans had been pleading with Sega to make for about a decade, and Sega clearly had no idea what they were doing, and they finally made one, which it was in no way perfect. I mean, it was probably about a 7, I would say. But it was a step in the right direction. This feels like they've not reinvented the wheel, but they've essentially kind of thought, right, we got this and that wrong with the last one. Let's make it better. And they have. I can't quite go, but I think if you don't like this, then you basically don't really like Sonic, to be honest, because this is... So far, this is what it should be. This is how it.
Do you hear that, listeners? That's the sound of a gauntlet.
A lot of people don't like
being forcibly pushed into the floor via gravity.
Absolutely fine if you don't like Sonic. A lot of people don't, and that's absolutely fine. But if you do, then this is the pinnacle so far of the comeback, I would say. Unless, I might come back to you in a week's time and I've played more and say, oh, yeah, it actually gets really rubbish. But no, at the moment, this is the right direction.
And on that bombshell, I'm going to have to say thank you very much to James Gilmore.
See you later.
And me, of course, because I hosted it. Thanks very much, Will. And to you listeners for listening to it. And I hope everyone... Oh, yeah. And
it's getting very old. I'm sure the listeners do agree with me.
It's a regular feature now, isn't it?
Well, thank you as well, Keith.
It's absolutely fine.
You're happy now? You had to have a little bit, that bit of special something, yeah? That's all you wanted, right? Yeah. Fine. Here it is. Are you happy?
Why have you turned into a northern woman?
I don't know. Yes, so thank you very much, everyone. We will be back next week. And then the week after, I don't know what is going on because it's E3. There will likely be a podcast from LA. Featuring me and John, hopefully Kristen. I'll try and get Kristen on.
Well, yeah, because if you have it just as you and John, John's going to make up a load of stuff that isn't true.
No, he is. I know.
He's going to say numbers.
It's really distressing.
He doesn't. He thinks it's real as well.
I know. Well, he sees the world in numbers. He's there, like, see, you know, the end of the Matrix.
Yeah, it's all he sees is season. Blonde, redhead, brunette. Yeah.
No, wait. The end of the Matrix.
Oh. Oh, never mind.
I mean, anyway, sorry, yeah. So, yeah, green numbers, 37, 32. Thank you.